Michigan on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Today's date is Saturday, February 13th, 2021. And so today's episode, we're going to discuss the Ohio State game against Maryland in basketball from this past Monday. We're going to talk a little bit about the coaching staff, the Al Washington situation, going between Tennessee and Ohio State all week. Ohio State is, in my opinion, has finally joined some of the big boys around the world and started hiring some analysts, which I'm a big fan of. So I'm looking forward to discussing that. And then we're going to finish up on some NFL news. I wanted to, we'll talk about a little bit about Chase Young being Defensive Rookie of the Year. And I also want to touch a little bit, even though he was never a Buckeye, but he did play in the Big Ten. The big news this week about J.J. Watt being released from the Texans. But we're going to start off after our little introductions. We're going to talk a little bit about EA Sports, which we couldn't believe that we forgot about that last week. But before we do that, how you doing this week, John?
I'm good, Mike. You know, Basket Bucks, they're in full swing. They're playing Indiana later on today. Hopefully we have this up for you guys somewhere during that game. I mean, it's not going to be before the start because I think tip-off's at noon, if I'm not mistaken on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it won't be up by then, but hopefully it's, you know, a little bit into the game that you guys can, you know, watch this at halftime or something. No, week's been good, you know, busy with work, of course. Our normal Friday routine. Now we capped the week off with WandaVision. So getting crazier by the week.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, EA, this was prior to our previous episode. And like I said, I can't believe we forgot to talk about it because we were both really excited about it.
Yeah. Really excited.
We were both big NCAA football, fans from, back in the day. I remember, you know, having them. Of course, I never had PlayStation 3, but I did have PlayStation 2. I loved the versions I had on PlayStation 2. So they announced, you know, they sent out a tweet, you know, Facebook, all their social media feeds about how pretty much it's returning and NCAA football is coming back. And they didn't specifically say that. So, I mean, I think they're probably still maybe working out some of the licensing things, but they said college football was back. So hopefully they get the full license.
Yeah. It was something to the effect of like, thank you all for, you know, staying loyal or still being there. College football is returning, something like that. So, I mean, they're EA Sports. I don't remember a time where they didn't get their licenses when they did a sports game wrong. I know a lot of people have issues with like EA Sports, like gameplay and some of the mechanics in their games, which, I mean, that's fine. That's another day, whatever. But to know that college football is coming back to consoles, I'm going to get to, you know, create prospects, recruit again. Ohio State always has the number one recruiting classes when John's at the helm. So I don't expect that to change with this new game. So yeah, I'm pretty, pretty darn excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. What I liked back in the day, and I remembered, you know, between that and Madden and, so in college football, you know, they have the dynasty mode. You know, you can create a bunch of recruits and you do legitimate recruiting and all that stuff. It'd be cool if they added the transfer portal this time around.
I think you would have to.
And maybe some of the other nuances that are in college football now that weren't in college football then. But then, like, because if you had the Madden game from the same year, you could import every time classes would graduate or leave for the draft early, you could actually transport those classes into Madden. So if you played Madden franchise mode, or it was franchise mode, it was literally you could draft the players that played in NCAA football.
Team, right.
So, I mean, and I love that. And so it was always fun. I mean, I think I had like, I remember the last NCAA version I had. mean, I probably had like 20 seasons in.
Oh, I've still played 2012 to this day. I mean, I probably have like 35 seasons or something like that. So. Urban Meyer's the winningest coach ever in the history of college football. I mean, that's just,
yeah,
it is what it is. I don't know how many games he's actually lost in those 35 years. It's not many.
Yeah.
No, and then actually, you know, because you said you never had the PlayStation 3, so maybe what you don't know about, like, the newer generations, when they started coming out with those, they actually had modes that, like, you could just create, like, it was like the road to Heisman or something like that, and it was just, you could create one individual player, and you would play solely as that position in every game. So, like, if you were a cornerback, that's all you saw was your view as the quarterback, and then you could get drafted as that guy into Madden, and then you could do your NFL career like that, too, so.
Yeah, so.
I'm expecting we would see a lot of the same with that. They're going to make it compatible with Madden. I don't see how they wouldn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really stoked about that. You know, that's when I saw that too, and they said it was for the next gen consoles. I'm like, well, you know, because, you know, we've discussed in the past. I mean, you know, neither one of us is, I mean, we're more of PlayStation side of things over the Xbox right. side of things. But, you know, we both have PlayStation 4s. And I'm like, I'm not ready to buy a PlayStation 5 yet. I mean, they don't have a lot of games out for the new console yet. I mean, and I'm not one of those guys that rush out to spend a bunch of money. You never find these things in stores. So it's like, I'm not spending $1,000-something on eBay to get a PlayStation 5 or the new Xbox. So I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I've always been of the mindset I'm eventually going to buy one. I just don't know when I'm going to buy one. And then I saw that. I'm like, well, I don't have a release date yet that I know now I'm going to be buying.
We got to save up for one, which I think it's funny. I think you and I even, like, we joked about that the week prior. Like, you were asking me about buying one, and I'm like, I'm not buying one till they announce a new college football game.
Yeah.
Which also I tweeted out, like, the joke. I think I put this on Facebook also about how, because, you know, everyone's so divided with politics, and we won't go into politics, but I'm like, you know what? Donald Trump failed as a president to get us EA Sports football back. Let's see if Joe Biden can do any better. Now I got to give Joe Biden all the props in the world because college football is coming back.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. I think that will be hopefully it'll be interesting to see how things go forward when you consider, you know, no name, like name, image, likeness, however the variation goes. But, it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward. If they're actually, you know, maybe in later iterations of this game, I mean, who knows, in a couple of years, we might actually, you know, if Trayvon Henderson coming up in his junior, senior year in a couple of years, when some of this stuff starts going into effect, maybe his name will actually start being put on.
Right.
So, and you, I mean, that was the, always the thing. I mean, we were both nerds when it came to EA with that game. I mean, we would literally take the Ohio State roster and be like, and plug, when you could edit players and plug. So, you know, you had Terrell Pryor and all these other guys played for you. And so, I mean, it'll be interesting then in a couple of years. I mean, obviously they haven't said when they're going to release this. I mean, who knows how far into the actually development stage they are in making the game. So, I mean, it could be something that it's, I mean, if they've been doing this for several months, maybe a year, I mean, this could be ready for this upcoming football season. And my guess will probably be the following football season, but who knows? And
well, I hope that means we get a college basketball game back too. Not that they never did those right. I don't know. EA never put it. I know EA, like, I hadn't got any, an NBA live game for a year. So I had heard they were terrible. You know, I've been playing like 2K. 2K games are pretty fun, but it's like they never put any like effort into the college basketball games. So I hope we get college basketball back. I hope they do it right. I mean, I think the most fun, did we have one for like 64?
Yeah,
a college basketball game that actually wasn't that bad.
And I had a PS2. We had a PS2 version.
We had a PS2 one that was okay, but it was like, I had a PS3 one. I think it was NCAA basketball 09, and it was kind of garbage.
Yeah,
I didn't really care for it, but yeah. So hopefully we get one of those back. Hopefully they do that right. Is it too soon to petition EA? Now I need Fight Night back. Yeah. I mean, I got college football. I don't want to be too greedy everything in 1 year, but I think it's, you know, I need a Fight Night champion round two. So I'll pump the brakes for a little bit, but I'm gonna start writing them.
Yeah, there's. no reason why they shouldn't have that one. I mean,
well, UFC became so much more popular than boxing. So, I mean, I get it when all the licenses, when they had the opportunity to buy that UFC license and go with it.
Yeah.
I get it. Cause UFC is a lot more popular than boxing is, but boxing games are so damn fun.
Yeah. All right.
Of course, so, UFC games are fun too.
Yeah. Never really got into those. My experience with boxing games,
you know, punch out,
stop that punch out and super punch out. But now those are classics.
The Wii punch out was a lot of fun too. Very cartoony, even though the other ones were also, but that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, all right. So, basketball. So the Ohio State team, Buckeyes, they beat Maryland 73-65, this past Monday. So I watched the game. I didn't get to watch it live, Mondays. It was just, I had a weird day at work. I wanted to go to bed early that day. So, I taped it, watched it later. So I knew the Buckeyes won before I watched it. But so I just a couple thoughts on, the game. So, you know, early in the game, and we've talked about this before. We actually talked about this last night, you know. When you think about some of the old Thad Mata teams, like sometimes I felt like they got in love too much with the three pointer.
Yeah.
And of course it's kind of like basketball nowadays. You see it in the NBA all the time. Now it's like, you're either a great shooting team or it's a dunk fest. And it's like, and sometimes it may be I'm showing age, and even though, and there's people older than me that or even more experienced to watching this, that it's like, you know, you grow up and you kind of, you know, we grew up watching, you know, NBA basketball in the 90s and stuff like that. And this is a lot more, you know, regular jump shots, you know, two pointers, and a lot of that mid-level game is just gone from basketball nowadays, which to me is kind of sad. I think it's kind of my same opinions with baseball. Some of the fundamentals of baseball are kind of out of the game. It's either, you know, you're either going to strike out or you're going to hit a home run. And it seems like it's the same thing with basketball, that, you know, you're either going to shoot a three pointer or it's a layup.
And well, I mean, but the thing with the three pointer also, if they offer a shot that gets you more points, I mean,
yeah,
it's only smart to become, you know, an expert on that and to practice it and be very skilled at it.
Yeah.
I love old school basketball.
And it's just, to me though, it's a higher risk shot. And so, and just where my point is that there was times where, you know, those Mata years, and you know, they had some good big men in there. I mean, you think of Odin, you think of Solinger, you know, Dallas, I can't think of his full name.
Lauderdale. You know, they had a lot. Ravenel.
Yeah, they had some big guys in there, but it seemed like they would get too much in love of the three pointer, and then that would be, and they would forget that they had the big man on the days that they were off on shooting. And three point shooting teams, I don't care if you're the Golden State Warriors or whoever, there's always going to be a game where you're just off. And, right. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen much, but Steph Curry is off, you know, once in a blue moon, he's off on his shot.
I mean, Steph Curry can afford that when it's, you know, when you're in the NCAA tournament and it's a one and done game. Like,
exactly. And so that was always my frustration with them. Now, early in this game, you know, they were just shooting. They were shooting good. They were hitting threes. I think, you know, that Arns was like 3 for 3 early in the game, or 2 for 2.
Yeah.
You know, Washington had some big threes early in the game. But they were down 14-0 in the paint. And like, you know, Maryland was just easily driving on them. And I'm like, God, I don't want them be another 3-point shooting team, because this is just going to be, it's going to come to haunt them.
Yeah, right.
You know, coming into the tournament. And, but then and I think it was about 5 minutes left in the first half. So up to that point, you know, their defense to me was playing very suspect. You know, Maryland was easily driving into the paint. Ohio State was not passing at all down in the paint. And, you know, they were just relying on threes, and they were missing some threes. They were hitting some threes. They were missing. Then they started going a little cold and Maryland was on them. Then they came back and they started tightening up their defense, and they actually started passing the ball into the lane again. And then I started kind of flipping. I'm just like, okay. And, you know, and like we said in the last episode, I'm not going to pretend like I watched a lot of games before to this point. I mean, I've cut bits and pieces, but this is probably, I think, the first actual Buckeye basketball game I've watched start to finish for this season.
Yeah.
And it's just been a weird year between worrying about football and then just everything else that's been about this year. It's just, I haven't had time and just never got to it. But now I'm watching. And so, they really started getting that Young involved. And I mean, he was just, talk about dominating. I mean, that kid dominated under the hoop, and he was killing Maryland. And then Maryland had no answers for him. It was about 5 minutes from at the end of the first half till about 5 minutes left in the game till like Maryland even started scoring again, it seemed like. And
I saw someone asked on Twitter, they're like, is Kyle Young overrated? And everyone's like, what the hell are you watching? Like, yeah. I mean, if anything, the guy's underrated.
Yeah, no.
Him and Liddell, I mean, that's a good one too down there.
Yeah, and Liddell. So Liddell had a very hard game offensively. I think he only scored like 7 points, and he didn't get his first like actual field goal until like late in the second half. But I mean, he was very dominant defensively, and they had some great traps underneath the basket where they got like some of Maryland's big men caught. And so Maryland was easily scoring early in the game, but once they started really turning up the defense on them, I mean, they put on some really nice under the, like, and down in the low post traps, and that the guys couldn't even throw it past the ball, and got a couple 5 seconds, stole, I think, one or two, forced some bad shots, and it was nice. My only thing on Liddell that I did notice a couple times, he was a little, and I think Bill Rafferty, so Rafferty did the game, and he said this, I believe, once too, and I noticed it also. He was sometimes a little slow when he gets the ball, making his, he dribbles it with his back, and then I think he needs to make his turn a little quicker. He was allowing the double team coming too easily to him and not being able to easily get the ball back out to an outlet. I think, and he was always, so, you know, you have your back to the hoop and you always go. So if you're on, you know, the right block, you always go to your left. If you're on the left block, you go to your right.
Right.
To the hoop. There was a couple times there. I'm like, you know, and he's up on the block, so he has the whole baseline to his advantage too. And I'm just like your whole move is to always go to that side. I would love to see him maybe a couple times a game, you know, fake that and come back across and go towards his, go towards the baseline, and would have been open a lot. So, I was impressed with them. I mean, when they really started turning it up, then they were lights out then again on 3-pointers, you know, and, Dwayne Washington, Dwayne, right? I believe that's
Dwayne Washington.
Yeah. Dwayne Washington.
Yeah.
All right. We've had so many Washingtons that played on the football team over the years that it's one of those that you seem like you've had a lot of Washingtons. So yeah, you got to think of,
it's hard to keep it all together sometimes.
So, I'm very impressed with him. He had a good game from outside the arc, but also drives the ball very well. Makes a good, quick first move. And, you know, that's so important when you're driving the lane, is the, you know, getting past that first guy and, you know, basically becoming unimpeded to the basket. And so he had a lot of nice points going into the lane, you know, coming down the stretch.
Dwayne's problem is he's a very streaky player, though.
Yeah.
When he gets cold, it's ice cold, and he has a really hard time getting out of it.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of that's basketball, and that's why, you know, I liked what I saw from Young. You know, I know Liddell didn't have the best offensive game, but he made it up for it on the defense side of the ball. That Arns hit some, had some nice 3-pointers. Towns had a couple big 3-pointers coming off the bench. Very impressive. I think that they have a good nucleus around Washington that, if he does go cold, they could hold a game intact. And the only thing that I just didn't like how they were setting up early in the game. It seemed like they were loving the 3-pointer too much, and they weren't doing enough on both sides of the ball underneath the hoop. So, I mean, that's my critique of it. But when they turned it on, I think the team that could be interesting in the tournament, and whether it's a 1 seed or a 2 seed, I think they, I saw like CBS had the, or Fox, because Fox Sports had the game, they had them on a 1 line. I completely forgot that Michigan hasn't played in a couple of weeks because they shut the program. So, I mean, they're just getting ready to start playing basketball again. So, you know, they still have 1 loss. We have a big game coming up against them.
No, I mean, I'm interested to see how it all shakes out. My only concern, but this is also kind of like maybe a benefit also, is you don't see a lot of like runaway, like dominant wins with this Buckeye team, which, I mean, that's just Big Ten college basketball also. Like, they're usually close games, you know, when they're both teams are skilled. You know, the other side of the coin, though, is maybe that'll be really good for them. Yeah. They're used to, you know, winning under adversity.
And then, like you said, that's the Big Ten. Like, they actually brought up during the broadcast, you know, that's Maryland's, you know, playing Big Ten teams pretty much. I mean, that's their 10th game against a ranked opponent this year. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ranked teams in the Big Ten. And so, and it's, we were talking kind of before the show, you know, it's just weird in college basketball. What did you say? Like the 10 winningest best. It's
something crazy like that. Like maybe like 10 of the 12 or the 12 winningest program, something like that. That like, they're not, none of them are ranked right now.
So, and you know, and the crappy thing about that is, you know, a couple of those teams are going to make the tournament. And so we'll probably have a 7th or 8th seed win the national title this year because one of them will hit. I mean, these guys have good players.
They still have the topper, you know, great recruiting classes. Yeah. Well, that'll be Ohio State will get a 1 seed and, you know, they'll have like Kentucky as a 6 seed in there. Kansas as a 7 seed in there. Yeah. We'll get the bracket of death.
In. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. They had Fox Sports had Gonzaga and Baylor as the other 2 1-seeds outside of Michigan and Ohio State, which would, and both those teams are undefeated. But that would, I mean, that'd be huge for the Big Ten if they would get 2 top seeds. I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely.
So, be interesting how they go down the stretch. I'm looking forward to watching the Indiana game later today. And then see from there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. We'll see how it goes. Should be. I mean, I don't see the wheels coming off though that they're going to get any less lower than a 2 seed come playoff
time. No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, even at this point, I mean, you're always in basketball. You're always capable of dropping a game against a no name, you know, team, a lesser opponent. And I mean, that stuff happens in basketball. I think if they split, it's Iowa, right? Yeah, if they split Iowa and Michigan, I think they were probably going to get to the top seed.
Yeah. And I don't know, you necessarily have to really go far in the conference tournament to get that either.
Yeah. So,
especially with how bad all the other, you know, those top teams, like top draws are doing this year.
Yeah.
I honestly think if you win the games you should down the stretch and you split Iowa and Michigan, I don't think it matters how far they get in the Big Ten tournament. I think they would get a 1 seed.
Yeah. Because again, yeah, they like having, they like having known names at those top seeds. And I mean, I'm not saying Ohio State has the illustrious basketball, you know.
No, it's not Ohio State football for sure.
But they're a name team.
They're not a basketball school like Michigan. I mean, there's just
they are a name team. They've been a name program for a while, yeah. You know. I mean, from especially since, you know, I mean, I know they've had back in the day, you know, they've had some really good teams, but when you just think in, you know, recent history, both Mata and Holtman has, you know, kept them.
Well, I know they took away the one, but they had what, three Final Fours within like a 15-year stretch? Yeah. Not even.
I mean, O'Brien did some interesting things in there, but
hey.
But you know, sometimes you wonder what the Kentucky does, and somehow none of those teams ever get called out for anything. Like there's no under the.
I mean, with Ohio State's recruiting, like football recruiting classes, I'm okay. Just like, you know, you got your slap on the wrist in basketball, and let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah.
This is why I don't look into this stuff that closely, because Ohio State gets a lot of good recruiting classes.
Yeah. All right. So, moving on to football. So basically we want to touch up on football this week is so we had a little dramatic week between the Al Washington.
Interesting to say the least.
So Tennessee offered him the defensive coordinator's job, which, I mean, good for him. Then. I mean, somebody, I mean, is looking at, you know,
it was like it said zeroed in like. I mean, I don't know if he was number one or number two or what on the list, but he was the top candidate for a point.
Yeah. And when you look at him, I mean, he's definitely a good recruiter. He's obviously he's done wonders when you think about Billy Davis turned that room around. So,
and he had some help with Madison with that also.
Yeah, but I mean, the guy is definitely a really, really, really good coach. This guy is definitely going to be a defensive coordinator. I was starting to get nervous when they were saying Tennessee was going to take him. Like, man, that was like, he's like my next, because we talked about now for a couple of weeks that he could be the next guy on Ohio State.
I mean, you and I both thought the obvious move was that you let Combs be the man on defense, but, you know, Washington, you need to make it known that he's at a point that he's being groomed, and you promote him to the, you know, co-defensive coordinator and kind of be like Combs' understudy there.
Yeah.
Which you and I said that before any of this stuff happened. So it seemed like that was a pretty obvious move Ohio State should have made. So shame on them that that wasn't, you know, in the works before this past week.
Yeah.
Because I think this would have been a non-factor, but it ended up being a lot more interesting than that.
So. Yeah. So, and then, you know, Ryan Day, so Tennessee offered him a job. It seemed like he was going to Tennessee. Then Ryan Day kind of came in and was like, you know, kind of asked him what he wanted. He, from what everybody was saying, is that, you know, he was basically gave a number to Ohio State. Then Tennessee sweetened their deal up
a lot.
So, you know, what was the, it was like,
the rumor is $1.5 million per year was the final offer.
And then, you know, Ohio State sounds like we haven't gotten an exact number yet. I mean, I think you said you saw that 800,000.
Well, I think it, I mean, I don't have an exact number. I don't know if they hit a million or not. I know he left hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table, though, by staying in Ohio State.
So maybe they got it to a million. Maybe they're a little under a million, but, you know, he's staying. And so now, I mean, that has to be on the radar now for the Ohio State. I mean, this is a good young coach that you don't necessarily want to lose. And, you know, and I get it. Coaches leave. I mean, if he was the defensive coordinator and, you know, Tennessee offered him to be their head coach, well, I mean, you can't fight with that. But
right.
But I would hate, I don't over argue those points when, like, Jeff Hafley left to be Boston College's head coach. I mean, you can't.
It wasn't a bad job either.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say no to stuff like that.
It's a weak conference. Boston College really wasn't in terrible shape. I mean, I know that they weren't like, you know, a perennial powerhouse, but Clemson's dominated everybody in the ACC. Yeah. But I don't think Adazio was that who, that's who was there, yeah, right? I don't think he left them like, you know, bare cupboard or anything like that. I think they were a pretty good foundation to begin with. And Ryan Day, you know, of course, he told Hafley that that was a good job to go with. So
yeah,
it seemed like a no brainer.
Yeah. So yeah, I would agree with all that. So yeah, if Al Washington was the DC, or even if somebody hired him, if somebody was said, came out and said, yeah, are you her linebackers coach, but we like you, we want you to be your head coach. Like, you know, you can't argue with points like that. You're not going to fight back head coach money. But you could fight back defensive coordinator money if you give your coaches, you know, more money. And, you know, Ohio State, I'm sorry, and I know you were talking about you got into it with a Tennessee fan. Tennessee fans are, I mean, they're some of the most laughable, like the delusions of, and we were talking about before the show today, the delusions of Tennessee fans, how they are just like, you know, but they go in about Tennessee versus Ohio State, and then you, like, you point out that just how much greater Ohio State, and then they suddenly start going into about how many national titles Alabama's won, and like I'll listen to that about from Alabama fan, and I this whole thing from the South, I don't get this. Like, I still have never gotten it, and you know,
if a Florida fan wants to run their mouths to me, you know what? You have as many titles as Ohio State does, and like, well, I mean, actually, more recent, they have more two titles than we do, but you know, they have three in almost around the same time that we have two, but they beat us on the field. So yeah, if a Florida fan wants to tell me that, you know, Florida is a better team than Ohio State the last 20 years, I know it's not true, but I'll listen to that and I'll take it because Florida beat us on the field. If a Tennessee fan wants to talk crap to me because Tennessee beat us in a meaningless bowl game in 96, January 1st, 96, beat us by 6 points.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tennessee has done nothing since the turn of the century. Like, yeah, I don't want to hear.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a joke, and it's just like, So you get into these things. And so Ohio State has a much better culture. And Ohio State's done a better job since Urban's become a coach. But I've always said, and we'll get into this with the analyst things too, that they don't pay their coaches enough. And
no, they
I
don't.
Still don't think they do. They're doing better. But, you know, I'm sorry, not one coach on Ohio State's team should be making less than $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
And when you get somebody like an Al Washington, a Brian Hartline, these guys need to be at a million. And I'm sorry. That's what the name of the game is. Ohio State is one of the premier programs. We know the type of money they're making. Fox and the Big Ten Network is just handing bags of cash to these programs.
Right.
You have, I mean, in a normal year, and I know this wasn't a normal year, and I get it that they want to be a little bit more frugal, but you know, you can't lose a guy like an Al Washington in Tennessee because you're trying to be over frugal.
Right.
And yeah, in a normal year, you get 100-something thousand people too in that stand. So, you know, Nike is one of their top brands. So, you know, God only knows what the money they're getting out of merchandising. So I'm sorry. Al Washington needs to be at a million. He needs to be.
Well, I mean, you look at the linebackers he has coming in also. I mean, the guy obviously, you know, on the recruiting trail, he's one of the best out there. I mean, right now, like how Hartline the last couple of years has been the best recruiter in the country. Right now for the next class, Al Washington right now is ranked as the best recruiter in the country. Yeah. So, I mean, the guy, obviously he, you know, pays his dues. He makes it happen on the recruiting trail, which is what it's all about. Like you said, that room turned around once he got there. And I don't know if it was just leadership and they were happier. He made it easier for those guys. I'm not sure what it was, but that was, I mean, those were different linebackers than what we had seen the Billy Davis years. So, and I mean, yeah, this isn't Al Washington. I mean, if your goal is for him to be Ohio State's defensive coordinator somewhere, you know, you got to make that happen. Because Al Washington, my guess is this, if he, you know, gets through this year, this is his last year on the sidelines of Ohio State.
Yeah.
That guy is a hot commodity. I mean, he's in his mid-30s, and he's one of the top position recruiters in the country.
Yeah.
And you got two of those guys. You got to figure out a way, you know, to get those guys, keep them happy, keep them here. I mean, Brian Hartline, we don't know what Brian's goals are because, you know, this is his alma mater. He made millions of dollars in the NFL. Yeah,
Brian's at a different point. I mean,
and Al's home, too. I mean, Al's a Columbus kid.
But Brian just because Brian had three different NFL contracts and, you know, he had money. I mean, so nobody knows what Brian's ultimate goals are because right. Brian, he might be just completely happy. Maybe his ultimate goal is he wants to be offensive coordinator at Ohio State. You know, no, because he's not going to be chasing dollar signs because he doesn't need to. So, you know, and, you know, and yeah, I think he probably does maybe want to be a head coach at some point in his life, but you never know. I mean,
right.
Luke never wanted to, I mean, even after Urban brought Luke back, I mean, it was a struggle for Luke because Luke didn't want to leave. I mean, he almost didn't. There was points where a lot of people said, I mean, he didn't take the Pitt job. And there was points that said that he was close to not taking the Cincinnati job. And I think that Urban right. kind of pushed him a little bit that, you know, you should take this.
Well, he loved being home and everything, but it was the right move, obviously, for Luke. And I think it's going to be harder for him to realize he needs to take that next step. I mean, it still seems like it's hard for him to,
yeah.
you know, they're. It's time to move on from Cincinnati. You've done everything you can at that school. Like yeah. you, it's time to go to a big boy program. And you know, I think he's ready for it.
Yeah.
But like Hartline, like what I was saying, it's just, you don't know what his end goal is. The one thing about, you know, football players, especially ones that make it to the highest level, is they're very competitive and they want to keep getting better.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So
I'm sure there's some sort of progression in his mind that he wants to do and end up at. I'm sure he doesn't just want to be the receiver coach at Ohio State forever, but I don't know. I mean, maybe he does. He has a young family, so maybe that's comfortable for him. And I'm sure he has plenty saved up in the bank, but he has, as long as he has, you know, a good income stream coming in, he might be happy.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I'm sure he wants to do.
I'm sure he has aspirations and, you know, his next step, he might want to just be he might, yeah, eventually want to be head coach, but he might want to be offensive coordinator at Ohio State first. And, you know, and I think whenever, you know, that move, I'm sure, I don't think Kevin Wilson's going to be here forever. I kind of have a feeling Brian Hartland's going to be the offensive coordinator within the next couple years.
Yeah, I can't believe Kevin Wilson's still here.
But again, that just shows, I think, the culture.
I mean, I know he has some baggage that comes with him.
But I think it just shows the culture. I mean, I think Al Washington likes it here, too. I mean, the fact that he's was decided, and maybe Tennessee wasn't the right fit. I don't know if Nick Saban came in and said, I'll give you $1.5 million, $2 million to be my defensive coordinator. Al Washington's going to, you know.
Al Washington would be in Tuscaloosa.
So there's probably some of that on this, too. That's, you know, again, to you Tennessee fans, I don't, like, he just.
I know. And I someone was like, well, that's the thing they said was, or I wrote, I responded back that, you know, the linebacker coach at Ohio State's a more appealing job than the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. And then they were like, what did they, the guy said that, you know, congratulations, you made him the highest paid position coaching football or something like that. I'm like, if you got the money, if that keeps him happy, what the hell? Like,
yeah,
you guys obviously, you know, Tennessee obviously wanted him and he's staying in Columbus. So that's not a loss for Ohio State to spend money and keep the guy happy, keep him here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a hot commodity.
Yeah. So there's two things I want to say before, you know, just finishing up on this, and then we'll head into the analyst thing. The second thing will kind of bring the segue going into the analyst thing. But the first thing is, you know, and I've seen some people say, you know, when we've, you know, there were some fears, you know, if Washington left, you know, you're going to lose some players. And, you know, I've seen this kind of before, and I've said it in the past too, and maybe I didn't fully understand some of the situation, but Gabe Powers had a quote this week that made me think that a little bit differently. And it's about position coaches. And I've always been like, kids that go to Ohio State, they don't really go to Ohio State because of their position coach. And I've seen a lot of people say that, but Gabe Powers made a very interesting point this week. And he's like, he's like, you don't understand, your position coach is kind of like your father at college. And I never thought of it that way. So a lot of, you know, losing out Washington, we could have lost.
It would have been huge.
And, you know, and you think about that and it's like, okay, you know, that's from a player's perspective. And, you know, and yeah, that's probably that is the guy that spends the most time with them. I mean, that's not, you know, Ryan Day. It wasn't Urban Meyer. I mean, they're overlooking the entire program and, you know, and everything else that goes with that. I mean, they have media obligations and all kinds of stuff that, you know, your position coach don't necessarily have. And, you know, they spend the most time with these guys outside Brian Mariotti, who probably spends the most time with them.
Well, and I mean, just imagine, and I know it's a lot different circumstance because he's, you know, much older, but imagine one of these like out-of-state defensive linemen that we've been in the whole cycle for, but it's coming down to us and an SEC team and could go either way. And Larry Johnson goes to another school or Larry Johnson retires. Like, good chance that guy's done with Ohio State.
Yeah. That's another thing Ohio State's going to have to consider going, you know, forward is that, you know, I mean, Larry Johnson, kids love playing for him. That's why we're getting, I mean, Ohio State is a great school that puts a lot of guys in the NFL, and you're still going to get good defensive linemen.
You're still going to be showcased. So, I mean, they're still going to go to
we'll still get kids, but, you know, I don't know if you get Chase Young. And the Bosa brothers were a little different because, you know, they had Ohio State ties, you know, previously.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, but guys like Chase Young and, you know, it's Tyreek and, you know, a couple of the guys we've had. Can we pull them? I mean, Togi, I loved Larry Johnson and raved about Larry Johnson, you know, before he committed. And so
still sad to see Big Tom go.
Yeah. So, and then my second point, and then we'll take this into the analyst thing. At Ohio State, I think sometimes Ohio State, and this is part of the money on the coaches and them, they need to hire. Why I like this move to hire analysts. I think sometimes Ohio State needs to, you're in the Big Ten. I mean, I know we've talked about the Super League and maybe Ohio State should leave and create, and they should maybe all the big schools, you know, there's still maybe the percentages of that eventually happening are higher than they were, but it's still not a 50-50 situation.
Oh, no,
it's
no.
Far more likely that Ohio State is staying in the Big Ten. So I think Ohio State needs to get out of the mindset that they're competing against Big Ten schools, though. You're not. You're beating Big Ten schools. Clemson doesn't think of playing, they're competing against the ACC. They're beating ACC schools.
but their competition's Alabama.
Well, and I think even Urban had said that within the last couple of weeks, because they had asked about like the difference between Ohio State and Alabama. And he said, you know, as far as players go, I mean, just to like quickly summarize, was Ohio State's going to be back because they got the teams, but Ohio State, they have to make it to a point where they're not just, you know, satisfied in competing against Big Ten teams, that you gotta push yourself to be able to, you know, be greater than that, because that's who you face at the end of the day. That playing teams that you walk all over all the time, that doesn't help.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have a game every now and then in the Big Ten. I mean, you know, Penn State will play games.
Still there.
Wisconsin will play games against you. I mean, these guys have talent, you know, maybe one day Michigan will Michigan still recruits well. They just don't, you know,
they don't develop.
So maybe development will come back to Michigan one day and they actually can compete. I don't know that until that happens, and maybe they start caring more about the Ohio State game. You know, Ohio State will probably still continue to walk all over them, but
they got Mike Hart back as a running back coach. Indiana ran for -1 yard against Ohio State this year.
Exactly. But Ohio State during Big Ten season, you're not competing against those schools. You're competing against yourself. And then you're competing against what the thought is, because you're competing for headlines. And, you know, and when you're competing for headlines against the big boys, you got to start acting like them. And I'm sorry, your coaches need to be paid more money. Like I said, none of these coaches should be under $500,000.
No.
And your big coaches need to be compensated. They need to be at 7-figure levels, and your coordinators need to be at $2 million. I mean, that's, we're there now. I mean, that is, you got to think about that. And that doesn't mean Ryan Day needs to take a pay cut. He needs to be one of the top paid head coaches in college football. I mean, this is a world that, you know, it's different, and you got to look at it like you're a SEC school playing in the Big Ten, just like Clemson, you know, they're an SEC school playing in the ACC. And, sure. You know, and you could have all the better academics and all that stuff. You can still have all that. I mean, this is the largest, if top two largest universities in the country. So there's plenty of money to go around for everything else. So, I mean, I'm sorry that they can afford it. And who cares if some Big Ten schools are like, well, you know, they're paying Al Washington $1 million a year, and they're paying, you know, Kerry Combs $2 million a year, and Ryan Day's getting $8 million a year. Well, okay.
Exactly. And that goes back to my point. Like, you're not going to make me feel bad that Al Washington's the highest paid like position coach. Like, that's not stupid on Ohio State. Like, you make that money, spend it. Like, keep your guys, keep your, you know, your assets, keep them home. Like, pay them and, you know, continue to build the brand.
Yeah.
You don't need to continue to build the brand. Just use what the brand is and keep getting, you know, the best talent, whether it be on the field or coaching the guys on the field on that team.
Yeah. Just to quickly touch on the analyst thing. So they hired a few analysts, and then they also replaced their Stamper. So Todd Finch, which was most recently Vanderbilt as a head coach, they hired him as an offense analyst, and Paul Rhodes, which had was a former Iowa State head coach, they hired him as a defensive analyst. So
he's the one that beat the undefeated Oklahoma State, right?
I think so.
Blackman's here when Herman's his offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, I think so. So before we get into Barnett taking over player development, I like these moves. And I saw some people were like, question, why are they hiring these guys? They're not hiring these guys to be recruiting coaches.
That's the thing, is like, I don't think people are getting it. Like, these guys aren't on the field. They're not calling plays. Like, they're an extra mind that's been around the game that can help your team out. Like,
just think about, these are the type of guys that this is what Alabama does. This is what some of the other big schools, I mean, LSU hires some analysts, and this is why I'm liking this. This is trying to get out of that, you know, we're in the Big Ten mindset. You need to be getting into it. There's nothing wrong with having different minds, being able to look at stuff. And, you know, these guys have been around the game, and, you know, maybe they're not they weren't the best head coaches in the world, but you're not hiring them to be a coach. You're not hiring them to recruit.
Right.
You're hiring them just to be like, help us look at things,
just to pick their brain. That's it.
You're watching us play. You're watching other teams play. You know, they're trying to, you know, just get different opinions in the room. And, you know, you know, this is how, what I would do to attack this team. And, you know, and maybe, maybe Paul Rhodes doesn't have the team at Iowa State, you know, do that. Maybe he wasn't the greatest head coach, but doesn't mean he's not a bad defensive mind that he could go to Kerry Combs and be like, you know what? Maybe if we played Alabama this way, you know,
right. And you know what Paul Rhodes specializes in is defensive backs. Yeah. And Kerry Combs is now focusing all on the defense. And you got a first time guy really taking over like Barnes. This is the first time he's had everything to himself. So, yeah, why not have an extra mind to help him out there that's seen the game for years to give him some pointers?
Yeah. So, yeah, if this is what the future is, that they're going to have, you know, a couple more guys, whether you want to call them quality control guys, analysts, whatever, if you're going to have a couple more guys that have actually been around the block, veterans, and Ohio State's going to pay them some money to do that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine. I have no problems bringing some extra minds into the building because that doesn't hurt.
Well, I mean,
Nick Saban loves doing it.
I don't think it ever really hurt Nick Saban when he brings in, you know, Butch Jones or Hugh Freeze or, you know, guys that failed as head coaches, but they've been around, they've done successful things. Like they know they can at least offer some sort of wisdom, if it not, maybe not to Saban, but to his coordinators,
yeah,
that can help them look at things a different way that, okay, maybe we can implement this into our game plan.
Yeah.
Cause it makes sense.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. I have no issue with it. It's a smart move. Like you said, like if you want to really compete with these guys, you know, these are the things that you have to do. And I know Ohio State has their, you know, two national titles in 20 years and they're always right there, but this is just, I think this is a smart step. It's, you know, it's the next step. If it doesn't work, you're still going to be a very competitive team. Yeah.
And like I said, you're not replacing a coach. So if you know, somebody wants to hire Paul Rhodes or, you know, Fitch coming down the stretch to be a coach on their team, fine, whatever.
Right.
You go hire another analyst and, right, you know, you bring guys in that have been around the game and, you know, I'm, yeah, completely fine.
There's nothing wrong with collaborating with people. It's,
yeah. All right. So, you know, Ryan Stamper, he left the Be With Urban down in Jacksonville. So they've hired CJ Barnett to replace him as director of player development. He's an ex Buckeye, former Buckeye, played right at the end of Trussell's tenure, was there during the dark year with Luke.
Right.
And then finished up his last 2 years were when Urban was head coach. Sure. So, on the surface seems like a great move. I mean, he's very familiar with Ohio State,
right,
with the program. Just your general thoughts.
Well, I think my biggest takeaway is, I mean, obviously culture guy loves Ohio State. So that's excellent to get in there. To replace Stamper though, you know, you have to kind of, there has to be a little bit more to it, to you as a person. And I believe he's been a Columbus police officer for the last 2 years, mm-hmm, something like that. So, obviously, you know, the guy's familiar with the community. And I think the things that Ryan Stamper, you know, that people were able to go to him for and to the Real Life Wednesdays, I think that's something that CJ Barnett is definitely, you know, suited that he can continue that legacy, maybe add some of his own stuff, but definitely he'll be a good voice that, or a good liaison. These guys, you know, these young players can go talk to.
So yeah,
I think it's an excellent hire.
So he was also a sales consultant with a Subaru car dealership in Dublin, which, I mean, we know what's coming. You know, name, image, likeness. We've always said that this is a very big advantage for Ohio, mm-hmm, State in the future. A guy who understands the community and player development, and, you know, that in the end, this might come at a point where part of your player development is helping them, you know.
Well,
this car dealership, you know, they want, you know, somebody to come be a spokesman for them. You know, I think that's perfect for you. And, you know, Kroger wants this person. I think that would be understanding the community and all the different, I mean, Columbus is one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And, you know, I mean, when you look at 20 years ago, what those suburbs looked like compared to now, I mean, the city, I mean, it seems like, I mean, Dublin's in like three different counties now, of Dublin. So like,
well, and the thing about the hire that I also like is, I think with this position, what's really important is you have to have someone that's played football. So It has to be someone that can relate to these guys that, you know, knows the game, knows what it's like to be a student athlete. The other thing to it though, which I don't like, because Barnett was a good player, I remember him, but it has to be a guy that kind of, they didn't make it as a football player. Also that they realize, like, you know, how you have to use your degree or what you do after sports. So I think that, you know, he's walked in those shoes.
Yeah.
That he's been a police officer, like that's you said, he's been a sales consultant in the community, that it's going to be an excellent hire. I think that's, like, I know everyone said how big of a deal was losing Stamp. I don't know if it's just going to be a seamless transition or not. I think CJ Barnett, though, easily can grow into the role and he'll be great at it.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that. Good points from you on those. So, top to bottom, everything. I'm glad they kept Washington. I like the idea of going into the analyst roles and, you know, hiring analysts. And I like CJ Barnett. So, you know, and going forward, you know, I just want, you know, I think Gene understands it a lot more when he hired in Urban. And the biggest reason why he hired Urban is that he realized that he cannot lose footing in the college football world after Trestle's departure. That, you know, and, you know, people say what they want to say about Jim Trestle. Jim Trestle put Ohio State very high up on the map.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
And I'm not saying Ohio State didn't have, you know, when they were on the map. I mean, those Cooper years, you know, Ohio State was on the map. I mean, but, you know, I mean, Trestle grew Ohio State past, you know, where John Cooper had some issues. So, I mean, Ohio State was a hotbed, I mean, of college football. And Gene realized that. He's like, we can't take a step back. We have to take a step forwards. Well, the next step forwards are you got to start paying these guys, and they got to pay what the rate is. And that's part of capitalism, and that's, you know, markets.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Markets dictate stuff. And if the SEC, if the Alabamas and the LSUs, and, you know, they're going to pay their coaches, and Clemson is starting to learn, having to learn some of the stuff from Ohio State. There's been some things that, you know, maybe they don't pay their coaches as good as that they should, and they have to start learning that too. So you got to get these coaches up to what the market rate for these coaches are. And
absolutely,
that's part of life. I mean,
right. Or you lose Al Washington before you think you are.
Yeah. So,
which I'm still, like, I saw something that, you know, and I don't know if UCF found their coach or not, but, like, Marcus Freeman is really a guy, like, they would consider at UCF. Right. So, I mean, there's still a possibility, you know, we might not get to the season with Al Washington. Cause if Marcus Freeman goes to UCF, I don't know if he would, being a defensive guy, he might, like, call Al Washington, see if he wants to be his coordinator, because, you know, he thinks he can really mentor him, help him. But
Notre Dame,
that's an opening in Notre Dame then.
Yeah.
And so Notre Dame is a job you leave for $1.5 million.
Yeah. And, well, at that point, I think Ohio State, I mean, Kerry Combs, Ohio State, and everybody would have to come to some sort of agreement that, I know we were going to make you the defensive coordinator, but you need to be a co-defensive coordinator.
Right. Again. Yeah. And,
like, because
if you really want to keep him, I mean, that would have to be what you would have to do to sweeten that deal enough to keep him there.
So just to finish up the show. So I wanted to talk a little bit about real quickly on Chase Young, won defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, fourth Buckeye to do it in the last 5 years, third defensive lineman. So, I mean,
we saw what he did in college. That's no surprise. I mean, the people that said he was going to be a bust because he didn't have a sack against Clemson, you guys just needed to watch the film from 2 years to understand how stupid of a take that was. I mean, Chase Young did nothing but dominate guys for 2 years. I mean, he had two twisted ankles. You know, he had two bad ankles the year before at 18, and he still had 11 sacks. So, yeah, the guy is amazing. And
with that defensive line, I mean, they have four first round picks on that defensive line, and Washington, we just saw in the Super Bowl what defensive lines can do to, especially if you have both your offensive tackles.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurts a little
bit. But you saw even who's Tom Brady's kryptonite. Well, that was the Giants
defensive line.
And the 1 year that they played the Eagles, which had a really good defensive line too. It's like, you know, I mean, you can do a lot with a great defensive line, and, you know, because,
yeah, when you can get pressure and you can leave your linebackers, and, you know, you don't got to blitz your safeties and linebackers all the time. Yeah.
And let, you know, you let your, basically you let your linebackers be free agents back there, attack where they want to attack. But
What an excellent game plan against the Chiefs. Sorry to go off, but go off topic. And I know they didn't have their tackles, but my God, Mahomes was still like, I think he's still running for his life today.
Well, they said he ran for like the most yards ever.
What was it, like 500 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, that's crazy. But what I was saying is they have a really good defense line. And, you know, Ron Rivera is a good defensive coach. And if they can get a good offensive mindset in there and, you know, get a couple of fixed, a couple of issues. I know you're dealing with, you get to deal with the Dan Snyder mountain that he's not the most patient guy in the world. But I mean, they made the playoffs this year. Washington could be a team going forward that could be a legitimate threat.
I wish that guy would want to get out of the game. Like he just does. He is such a hard owner to work for.
Yeah. So well,
you got a good running back. You got Terry McLaurin's there. So you got good pieces.
I don't know. I mean, and nothing against Alex Smith. I mean, what that dude went through is, I mean, he deserves every accolade he's getting right now.
They better not draft Justin Fields, man. If he falls to them and they draft him, I'm going to be a little pissy.
They probably need a new offensive coordinator. I mean, I don't know who their offensive coordinator is. They need a different offensive mindset and they need to solidify their quarterback. They could be a real team because of that defensive line. They could be a threat to, you know, maybe they could get into the game someday. And then speaking about defensive lines, so just to finish up the show, and again, I said at the beginning of the show, he didn't play for Ohio State, but he played for Wisconsin. And I get it. He's maybe has lost a step or two since where he was.
Yeah.
And I don't know what his contract is. I don't know what kind of salary cap hit the Texans are taking if they would have kept him going into the new league year starting in March. So I'm going to preface all that, but I thought it was kind of crazy that they just outright released him. I don't think it's crazy that they got rid of him. There was obviously some difference of opinions they had to get rid of him, but you would think that JJ Watt would fetch something of a return, and maybe it's not two first rounds and a second round anymore, but could you get a second or third rounder, maybe two draft picks in like that second, third, fourth round area that, you know, get two in there somewhere. I mean, I don't know. I thought that was kind of crazy. And
I mean, I know he's had some health issues. Maybe it was just, he wasn't happy with the team, and we know like Deshaun's not happy with the team, but you know, JJ is a little bit later into his career than what Deshaun Watson is. And he said, you know what, can you guys release me? I want to go somewhere else. And maybe they felt they owed it to him. I don't know. I mean, and I know it's a business that it doesn't necessarily always work that way. There is a reason why, though. Maybe they thought that, you know, he's not going to be worth the money to them because they need that money to rebuild in other places. I'm not sure. It's interesting, though. And, you know, I wouldn't mind to see maybe the Browns talk to him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd come to Cleveland.
Well, they said that they listed him as one of the things that there would be some mutual interest there.
So he'll be in Tampa Bay next year.
He could be in Tampa Bay next year. God help, that'd be another Super Bowl for the Bucs. the retirement home down in.
I think he's still earlier in his career than like when Shaq came to Cleveland, but that's just where I get a little like cautious on is because remember, like Shaq was like a superhero to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my, you know, my favorite player is in Cleveland finally. And he was a shell of who he once was as a player. And I don't think Watt's hit that point yet. I mean, I know he slowed down, but opposite end of Garrett, being a mentor to Myles Garrett, even though I don't know if Myles really needs it at this point of his career, but being a mentor to the defensive line, I mean, you saw like the comments JJ made about how they're paid millions of dollars to play a game that they love and the Texans weren't giving the effort. Like that's what you need in the Browns locker room right now to talk to your young defensive guys.
And that's what I'm thinking about partly too. I think the guy can still play. I don't know if he can still play at the level that he was playing at. I think he can still play. And when I think about him on the other side of Myles Garrett, where Myles Garrett's now going to take he's still going to get all the attention. So sure. JJ Watt's could have a lot of openings towards, towards the quarterback. And it's not just Cleveland. I mean, I don't want him to go to Pittsburgh, but both his brothers are there. Mm-hmm. I could see him in Buffalo. I mean, that's another team that they've talked about. So there's a couple teams in there. I could see, I don't know what the Jaguars or, you know, the Colts money, or I saw the Titans were a possibility too. I mean, we could see Vrabel loving to have him in Tennessee, and you plusly, that's, you know, you understand. I mean, that's picking somebody up that understands one of your division rivals. And so, I mean, there's who, you know, went up against those offensive linemen every day in practice. So, I mean, there's different things that they could do.
I would definitely love to have his attitude in the locker room in Cleveland.
Yeah, I would definitely talk to him. And if there's some mutual interest, the Browns still have some good cap room. And I mean, I know you got some re-signings coming up. I mean, you got contract extensions. You got to deal with Baker, Denzel, and Nick Chubb are all coming up. And, you know, so, I mean, that's a lot of money that's going to get thrown at those guys.
And me personally, I know you and I talked about, you know, some of the durability issues like Denzel Ward's had. We talked about that earlier today before we got on, but those are three guys I would like to have re-signed and continue their careers in Cleveland.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that they're all going to get their contracts.
I would think so.
But yeah, so I think it was just a little weird. I'm like, you couldn't have gotten anything for him. Like, I think he could still fetch a number two and a number four. And, you know, somebody would have been like, yeah, I'll give you that for JJ Watt.
Maybe not a two, but a 3-4 is still good in the NFL. Like, that's still two quality players.
Yeah. I don't know. A team that maybe the draft's not like a team at the higher end of the draft could be
be a team that, you know, like maybe Kansas City, that they're missing a couple pieces on the line, or someone that was very close already. Maybe them, that, you know, it's late second round, so maybe it would be worth it. I don't know.
So just my thoughts on that. So we'll get on out of here with that. Good show.
Yes, sir. So, all right. Well, thank you everyone for coming out today to the Buckeye Bar. We'll see you guys next week. I'm John.
I'm Mike.
OH.
I-O.